Morning News is brought to you by Sprague Sports on 32nd Street, Yuma's hunting and shooting headquarters and responsible gun ownership since 1956.
The following program on 560 KBLU is a paid program. All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters, LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters, nor its affiliates, nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated, warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such.
Welcome to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hanson, hosted by attorneys Sean Garner and Adam Hanson.
Trying to do our best to get going on a Monday morning, right? You had a good show last hour.
I think so, but
a couple hours.
I messed up my headset when I unplugged it somehow.
Yeah, my headset's not working either. So hopefully it's transmitting okay. We just got done with the weekend, obviously, and a big holiday. How did you celebrate your Mother's Day?
I stayed home. I was sick. I had that summer cold thing going on,
yeah.
So I didn't do much. But
yeah, there's a lot of people that I've run into that have that little.
I made some phone calls and said hello.
That's good.
You know, in fact, I had the present for my daughter that my granddaughter had made. It was at my bus. You know, so I took it over early in the morning, hung it up so they could see it in the morning when they got up. You know?
I had a good experience. Reflecting on some of the women in my own life, yesterday I went to church with my family, and at church they often talk on Mother's Day about mothers and women and how they play a great role in our society and in our lives. And I was just reminded of some of the greats in my personal life, and hopefully you were able to reflect yesterday on those women, some that might not have ever had children. I mean, we talk about mothers and all sorts of shapes and sizes and forms and fashions.
Yes.
And some of them never had actual children of their own,
but
they were able to mother others around them, you know. And
you didn't at any point say Happy Birthing People Day, did you?
No, I didn't.
And you know that term did pop up, right?
I am not aware of that term.
Yeah, that term
shows
showed up as one of those politically correct terms, because that way it doesn't
offend
somebody. But I think these new terms offend more people than they do save, I think. I don't know.
Or confuse. It's like, I don't understand what you're trying to say.
Happy
Mother's Day or happy
birthing.
Thank you for doing what you've been doing all these years.
There are some people that go up to their mom saying Happy Birthing Day and or Birthing People Day and get slapped.
Yeah.
You never know. It's scary.
It's a
scary
world.
I'm going to stick with mother. I think it works.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, I had the opportunity to talk to people yesterday, women that are both mothers of their own children and others that never had children, but yet I know that they did. I told, like, one in particular is an aunt, and she has had a profound influence on our family. And I know of all the fun activities she did with all these nieces and nephews over the years growing up, and I thought, man, that's the funnest mother there is, because she didn't have any other kids to, well, she has all sorts of kids, you know,
right,
that she had to deal with. But at the same time, she was able to put her attention into those nieces and nephews and do really fun things with them over the years, crafting and things like that. And even though she never really had her own physical children, she had all these kids that she was able to teach over the years. So hopefully you're able to reflect on some of those powerful women in your lives. I mean, as I thought about it, I thought, man, we really live in this is a woman world that we get to enjoy, because we're outnumbered.
Oh, wait a minute. It's not a man's world?
Three to one, I think, something like that, if you look at the world statistics. And so we might as well just come to the realization that we need to be nice to them.
Well, I think it's good advice.
Yeah, and what I found is, you heard the old adage, if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. And so
I do hear that.
Yeah, we try and live that in our household.
Yeah.
But hopefully you had a great day yesterday.
Absolutely.
A great day. Things that are on my mind recently. On Saturday, my wife was reading a story that she read on Facebook that popped up, an alert that popped up that they caught a group of nine illegal immigrants at the crossroads of 15, County 15, and the bombing range. And so that's our backyard.
Right.
And there was, I think a week and a half ago, my brother-in-law, he comes and he will pick up my twin girls because they go to school in town. And so he'll carpool with his own daughter and my girls. He'll come and pick them up every morning. He'll pick them up and drive into town. Well, about a week and a half ago, he came to my house and he said he was driving up, and about 100 yards from my house, he said there were a group of four illegal immigrants. He thought they were illegal aliens, and they were just face down, like kind of trying to hide or something like that. He couldn't understand what was going on. So he kind of slowly approached them, trying to figure out what's going on here. You know, they have huge backpacks on. They're face down on the ground. One of them, he said, it looked like he was in the praying position. And so he said, you know, I served in the military, and I felt like at that particular point I could just keep going, you know, or I felt like I've sworn an oath to this country to protect it. And so he called 911, and sure enough, Border Patrol came out and apprehended these. They called him back later and let him know that they were able to apprehend these illegal aliens. And they were, in fact, illegal aliens, and they had some stuff on their well, backpacks.
Backpacks,
and their
usually
backpacks,
are
yeah.
Marijuana or something. Usually.
That was 100 yards from my house.
Yeah.
So I'm obviously, I've talked about this before, my biggest fear is that this goes unchecked, because in my mind I'm thinking, myself, Adam Hansen, here in Yuma, Arizona, what remedy do I have if I am wronged by an individual that comes in illegally to our country? Mm-hmm. Right now, Border Patrol is told, you know, you really can't do much. It's not necessarily, they don't call it the catch and release program, but that's essentially what's happening, right, is my understanding of it. And those Border Patrol agents that are listening, maybe you guys can chime in on this, but my understanding is it's not necessarily catch and take back to the last country that immigrant came from. Or through, let's say, right, the Return to Mexico program is still in effect, is my understanding, but it's not really being
not like it
enforced
was Trump,
unless there is some sort of real big crime that they can tag on to somebody. But my biggest fear is that's all fine politically, you know, but it's not fine in real life, when in reality we've got so many coming across. If they were to commit a crime, especially against myself or my family, that's my biggest fear. Now what? What do I do? You know, what do I do? How do I get recompensed for that?
You don't.
And so that's one of my biggest fears. That coupled with the idea that, oh, well, there's this great push from the Biden administration to confiscate AR-15s or a lot of different weapons. And so you're allowing people
like
to come over without documenting who they are, what they're doing here, or why they're coming.
Their intentions.
And then at the same time, you're disarming the citizenry in effect, allowing us not to protect ourselves if it comes to that. And I hope it would never come to that.
They're not checking everyone either, so criminal records may not pop up.
It's such an odd situation where you've got a government that tells you you can't leave your house because you could inflict damage on other people if you cough on them or if you don't wear a mask in their vicinity. My boys were telling me the other day that in school they had a teacher that really became upset at another kid that he had his mask a little bit under his nose because he couldn't breathe.
Yeah,
you know,
he
was just getting stifled in class. And my son was telling me, he described a situation where the teacher just went off on him, started yelling at him, you need to be considerate of other people, kind of thing. And I don't know how much, you know, that was elaborated or exaggerated by my son, but I could see that happening in some settings. And I get the idea that I can put a mask on to help somebody else. I mean, I understand that argument, But we seem to have been fine before this a year ago with like the flu or with a common cold.
Yeah.
And at this point, what I'm understanding is if you look at the CDC website and you see the numbers for this, the common flu, it's like gone. It's eradicated. I don't know what happened, but miraculously about
it all became
6 months ago,
COVID, right?
Nobody has the flu anymore. It's like gone. That's crazy to me. That's a miracle, really. congratulations to all science, and I guess.
Eradicated.
But now everything's COVID related, and it's an odd phenomenon to me. So you've got a government that tells you you can't protect yourself from an actual physical threat and that you have to protect everybody else around you by covering your face, even to the detriment of your lungs or to your ability to breathe. But that's the world we live in, and it's kind of odd to me.
They haven't taken your firearms yet, but you're right that that's their intention.
I have talked before about leading up to this point in time, how fast this all came about, and the idea that the Biden administration, this happened a few weeks ago, I would say about a month and a half ago, where President Biden came out and he said, I'm going to really urge the ATF to come up with some rules against owning or even creating weapons that aren't traceable
ghost
with
guns.
The registration.
Ghost guns.
Ghost guns. And to my knowledge, I don't know, Russ, maybe you can correct me on this, but to my knowledge, there's never been any instance of one of those types of
there has been a couple, but that they've been used because they are out there, but nothing significant. I mean, nothing big, small, but really a ghost gun. What he's talking about is ghost gun.
Mm-hmm.
There's no, we've been able to do that since we were a country. I mean, if you want to work in your garage and make a gun, you can do it.
Yeah, if you have the wherewithal in order to do that. We'll talk about that as we come back. This is Life, Death, and the Law, 560 AM KBLU. We'll be right back.
More thought-provoking conversation coming up next on Life, Death, and the Law, right here after this.
Yuma, Dave Ramsey here. If you listen to our show or know anything about us, then you know I only recommend products and services I trust and I believe in. That's why when it comes to protecting your assets and planning for your loved one's future, you've got to call my friends Sean Garner and Adam Hansen at the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen. I encourage you to take the first step and attend a free, no-pressure seminar and learn all of your options. The firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen has been educating the Yuma community for over 40 years, and this is the only area of law that they practice. Sean and Adam believe in giving free education to help people make smart decisions about their assets and help them leave a legacy for their family that they can be proud of. Schedule a free personal consultation today. Call 783-4575 or visit yumaestateplanning.com.
Weather is brought to you by Ed Whitehead's Tire Pros, serving Arizona for over 20 years.
Pretty typical May warmth the next couple of days, but get ready for some triple-digit heat later in the week. 94 the high today, 95 tomorrow, upper 80s by Wednesday. When you're looking to hire people fast, better late than never doesn't cut it. Fortunately, Indeed has Instant Match. Sponsor a job and you'll instantly receive a list of quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job description. More at Indeed.com/credit. I'm meteorologist Terry Smith from the Weather Channel.
Eldorado Broadcasters is looking for a full-time administrative assistant. If you're hardworking, a self-starter, and comfortable in a supporting role, this position is for you. You must have strong computer skills with a good working knowledge of Outlook, Word, PowerPoint, and Excel. Excellent oral and written communication skills, as well as an outgoing personality and good organizational skills. A high school or equivalent degree is required. Send your resume to hiremenow at edbroadcasters.com. Hiremenow at edbroadcasters.com. Eldorado Broadcasters is an equal opportunity employer.
When it's hot, the last thing you want is your home's AC to quit on you. At 1 Hour Air Conditioning and Heating, our team of comfort specialists take the frustration out of the equation. From simple repairs to more complex fixes, we'll get you warm and comfortable quickly. Call 855-1-HOUR for a free service call with completed repair. Don't forget, we're
always on time, or you don't pay a dime. Always on time, or you don't pay a dime.
Terms and conditions may apply. Independently owned and operated, licensed in their respective state or county.
You're listening to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by Deason, Garner, and Hanson, the law firm that has been voted Yuma's best 6 years in a row.
Welcome back to the show. I'm attorney Adam Hanson. I'm in the studio today with the one and only Mr. Russ Clark.
Good morning.
Pushing buttons and turning dials and stuff like that. I don't know.
I'm working hard.
He's acting like he's doing something, and that's good. Good for a Monday. Prior to the break, we were talking about the idea that the Biden administration is, I guess you can say, coming after your guns. You hear that all the time. They're coming after your guns. I guess that kind of is the case, though. I mean, about a month ago, a month and a half ago, I was concerned about this, and so I looked into it. I looked, well, what are we talking about here? And essentially what is happening is that you've got two different things happening. You've got the Biden administration. President Biden himself is threatening to come out with executive action, which means he would sign an executive order.
But he's really limited on the gun thing.
When it comes to the Second Amendment, he could do really anything he wants. Through executive order, we haven't tested that means. Meaning, constitutionally, from the legal standpoint, an executive order is kind of like something that's made up. It wasn't there. You can't read the Constitution and see, oh, okay, here's the power given to the president to create an executive order. Over time, what's happened is the presidents have done that, and they've tied it to their policing powers, the executive power, and they say, oh, well, to get business done, we need to issue an order, and that order will be effective, basically have the force of law. Not basically, it does. It has the force of law.
On what he's over his domain, over what he's allowed to do, but he can't change an amendment.
So when that comes to his domain, like Russ is talking about, just to give you a little bit of a background, that means because the administrative agencies are birthed basically from the executive branch, where the executive branch is the policing arm of our government, then the president has the power to regulate those, install his heads of the departments and things like that. They have to be confirmed, but he has a lot of power when it comes to the agencies. Agencies are typically created through an executive order or through a legislative means by the Congress. And so when those are created, they have to have certain criteria in order to be constitutional. But really, it's kind of nebulous over time. That doctrine through the Supreme Court has been outlined here and there. And so there is an actual agency doctrine that it's not even in the Constitution. If you look at the Constitution, it says nothing about agencies. They don't exist. They weren't in the playbook necessarily when our founders put together our Constitution. Not that some of those founders weren't in favor of them. Essentially, what's happened over time is that back in mid to late 1800s, the presidents at the time, they decided, well, I don't have time or effort or knowledge in the area of forestry or in agriculture or in arms, firearms. I came from, you know, the political landscape. I have no idea of science and viruses and things like that. Therefore, I'd rather have a department that can deal with that. And I'm going to delegate my power, my executive power, to that agency so that they can regulate these certain areas that are problem areas from time to time. One of those is firearms and drugs and things like that. So you've got the ATF. And one of those is immigration. So we've got the border and customs agency. One of those is taxes and revenue. The president doesn't want to sit there and audit my personal family taxes. He doesn't want to audit you. And so he's got the IRS to come and do that. So the president does have all these tools in his tool belt, I like to say. And over time, that usually comes through executive order. Now, what do you and I have to stop a president from usurping power or going beyond what we think is his limit? Well, you can react by going to the poll and voting. That's the common answer. You can go to the polls and you can vote in those that you feel will undo what that president did. Or on the local level, we have a lot more influence, and so you can start influencing those in your community to act out or to vote against individuals that would support something that you don't support in the president's agenda. But that just takes time. And ultimately, it takes a lot of time to wait for these cycles of polling and things like that. And so it becomes very frustrating to us as a populace when you see a president or an executive branch doing things that, honestly, I feel like as an American citizen, I really don't have a lot of control over. I don't have the ability to vote in who's the director of the IRS or Border and Customs. I don't have that. I have no say in that. I can't do anything about that. I don't have any ability to influence or to change IRS tax code. I don't have any ability to change the Border and Customs laws about catch and release or anything. I have no ability to do that. That's an executive branch power, and we as a citizenry don't have the ability. I've always thought it's curious when it comes to agencies, though, and I feel like it's gone afoul of what was originally intended by those that were advocates for this agency type setup in our government. Oftentimes people will call it the fourth branch of government. We all know that there's three branches. You've got the legislative, executive, and you've got the judicial. Well, if you were to study constitutional law, then they talk about this fourth power or this fourth branch of government or agency. That's what they're talking about, these agencies that have been created over time by the president. So now what's happened is over time, these agencies, if you were to violate, let's say, a rule that was promulgated by the ATF, maybe that is you get into 3D printing. You buy this 3D printing printer on Amazon. That's one of these things where you can put in a specific code. You can download a file, and it tells the little machine how to build something. You can build anything you want with that 3D printer if you have the wherewithal. One of those things might be a firearm. You can print the lower part, they call it, it's called a lower receiver, and you can put a trigger in that. You can put the upper part onto that, a barrel, and you can create a firearm.
Yep.
So maybe I could do that, but
it's all legal.
But if the ATF says no, you can't do that, and I do that, and my neighbor says, hey, they call the local sheriff. They say, hey, this guy's doing this in his garage. He was telling me the other day, last Saturday, we were talking, and he said that he's built one of these guns. He's 3D printed it. And the sheriff now has obligated to report that to the ATF, and now the ATF might show up at your door. Well, I, as a citizen, didn't have any say in that. I didn't have the ability to say, you know what, this is against my rights as an American citizen. It goes afoul of what I think the Second Amendment allows me to do, which is to bear arms in any circumstance. But that's not how it works in real life. What happens in real life is ATF will show up at your door. They'll ask to come in. They want to confiscate what you have, anything that you have, so they can start doing an investigation. They might even jail you or put you in jail for a particular amount of time until they figure things out, and deprive you of freedom or your pursuit of happiness. And so what remedy do you have? You really don't have a remedy. You don't have a remedy because the ATF makes the rules, they enforce the rules, and they are your judge and jury as well. So that's the problem with the agencies that I see. I see them as all-encompassing forms of government just by themselves. They make their own rules. They're doing what the legislatures are supposed to do. They enforce their rules, meaning they're doing what the executive branch is supposed to do. And then they're also, if I violate a rule that they've promulgated, like I talked about here, where I printed this gun, maybe that was against a rule that I had no idea about because I don't follow the ATF's rules. I don't care, you know. I'm living my own life. But maybe I violate that, and I didn't know about it. It doesn't matter to them. I violated their rule, and now they're going to judicially come up with a verdict as to whether I did violate a rule or not. And if I did violate it, this is going to be the actual consequence of that rule, and usually that comes in the form of prison or fines. Most often it's prison. And in that scenario, what did I have? What power did I have? I had none. I had no voice. I had no advocacy on my behalf. I mean, you can hire a lawyer, and that's what you ought to do, but I'm saying in the process, I didn't come up with those. I didn't have the ability to say, I think that's a stupid rule. You should never go along with that rule in the first place. And I didn't have the ability to decide whether I broke the rule or not. You know, And so these agencies become very, very powerful. And to me, it's scary. It's scary because I have no, in my dumb mind that I can see in reality, in real life, I really have no remedy. I can't fix that other than going to the ballot box, you know, like we said before. But that's not really a satisfying answer to me. And so really, I think the form that it comes in is you and I educating ourselves as to what the Constitution actually says. And it's really a simple document in it, on its face. It really is. Over time, there's been some doctrines that have come out through legislation that's gone all the way to the Supreme Court. But those are really protecting our fundamental rights, we would call those, over time because of particular cases. And I'm grateful for those cases. Some of those cases I feel like were an overreach. Some of those cases I felt like they were in line with what the founders were intending. But in all those cases, we have had some modifications to what you would think a particular clause means in our Constitution. However, having said all that, we do have the ability in our local level, in our community, to educate each other about what our rights are. And so when you get pulled over by a police officer, you don't need to be rude, but you can be educated as to what your rights are. I mean, when the government is acting and they detain you, you have rights. Everybody has rights as an American citizen. And you have the right to ask questions and to protect yourselves. I'm not one that says all police are bad. Oh, it's the opposite. I come from the opposite side of that argument. I believe all police are good, or else they wouldn't be doing what they're doing. Are there some bad ones here and there? Absolutely. There's some bad teachers. There's some bad lawyers. There's some bad radio DJs. You're not one of them.
Okay.
I wouldn't say that to your face, at least, right. Just behind your back. But there's bad in all careers. I think you ought to be educated as to what your rights are, so that if something ever happens to you, and it could very well happen to you or me as we're living our lives and we just don't know about it. But you need to be educated about that. And we'll talk about that as we come back. This is Life, Death, and the Law, 560 AM KBLU. We'll be right back.
Have a question? Our phone lines are open. Call 344-5258. That's 344-KBLU.
Hey, Yuma, Dave Ramsey here. If you listen to our show or know anything about us, then you know I only recommend products and services I trust and I believe in. That's why when it comes to protecting your assets and planning for your loved one's future, you've got to call my friends Sean Garner and Adam Hansen at the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen. I encourage you to take the first step and attend a free, no-pressure seminar and learn all of your options. The firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen has been educating the Yuma community for over 40 years, and this is the only area of law that they practice. Sean and Adam believe in giving free education to help people make smart decisions about their assets and help them leave a legacy for their family that they can be proud of. Schedule a free personal consultation today. Call 783-4575 or visit YumaEstatePlanning.com.
Don't spend more than you have to on your mobile service. Spectrum Mobile could save you up to 40% versus what you're paying now. And nationwide 5G is included in every data plan. Plus, Spectrum delivers the fastest overall speeds and has the most reliable mobile service, coast to coast, with no hidden taxes, fees, or contracts. Visit SpectrumMobile.com today. 40% savings based on a comparison of single-line comparable unlimited plans amongst major national carriers as of 1/27/2021. Fastest overall speed, most reliable, based on Nielsen speed test, latest FCC report, and Root metrics.
Tune in each morning for the Fox News Rundown, brought to you by Yuma International Airport, home to 4 car rental agencies that are open early and close late, giving you more bang for your buck. Yuma International Airport, we've got your travel covered.
Be sure to listen Sunday afternoon from noon to 2 for the radio show that talks about all things real estate with award-winning broadcaster Stephen Gasque. It's everything you need to know about your home, from buying and selling. Brought to you by PhD. When your home needs a professional home doctor, call PhD 344-9111.
You're listening to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by Deason, Garner, and Hanson, the law firm that has been voted Yuma's best 6 years in a row.
Welcome back to Life, Death, and the Law. I'm attorney Adam Hansen. I'm in the studio today with the one and only Mr. Russ Clark, like usual. And we've been talking about I've just been kind of getting something off my chest that I've been thinking about for a long time. And that's really my frustration with administrative agencies and the federal government. I think they shouldn't exist, to be honest with you. And I think there's a good argument for them. And what's interesting is I've taught this at AWC. I teach a paralegal class almost once a semester. And as I go through those rounds, sometimes it'll be, let's say, bankruptcy law. Sometimes it'll be wills and trusts or probate. Sometimes it's agency law. So I teach it, and I don't let them know my particular stance on things necessarily. I actually talk about both sides of it. I talk about both arguments. That's what we need to do. It's not my job to tell students what's right or wrong. My job is to tell them these are the theories. This is one argument. This is the other argument, the other side of the argument. I'll let you, you know, decide what you want to decide. But it's not my job to tell you what to believe. And I think that's one of the things that we're running into these days is when I hear stories from my kids coming home from school. For example, they did Galileo testing last week, and I don't know if this is a good thing or not. I don't know if hopefully my kids turn out okay. They're not mass murderers or something like that. But as they come home and they'll say, "Dad, on Galileo today, the state test, at the very end, there was this question. It was so liberal." I was like, "Oh, really?" And they tell me this all the time. And they'll say something like, "Yeah, it was all about global warming and blah, blah, blah." And I said, "You know what? I'm glad you recognize it." I try not to, like, you know, how dare they, you know? What are you going to do about it? Nothing. I think the only thing that you can do about it is, and I'm not saying that maybe global warming is true. Who am I, you know, to say it's not? But when it comes to the detriment of my living, like, for example, I've talked to my partner, Sean. He grew up in northern Idaho, where their industry was based on logging, logging forests. And that was a prosperous industry, he said, not too long ago when they went back. Like, that's all gone. They've all been shut down. Why? Because there was this particular little owl that lived in the forest, and it became protected. And so at that time, in order to protect the owl, they had to stop. The federal government halted all private industry logging. And as a consequence to that, everything dried up. Economically, everything just died. And lo and behold, a little while later, the owl actually got killed anyway by a natural predator, you know. And so all that was really for naught. Does that always happen? No, you know, I don't know. But that's just an example of we think we know all these things, or we just, when it comes to COVID alone, you know, we thought we knew all this. We learned new stuff every day. And I think as we look back on last year, it was like, wow, we really went overboard at the very beginning really quickly. Not to say that it's not bad, that virus isn't particularly bad, but at the same time, I think it was, I think we saw an overreach of the government's, I don't want to say authority, because they really don't have authority to do what they did, but they did it anyway, and we didn't do anything about it.
Basically, just kind of martial law.
Yeah, it was really kind of an odd phenomenon. So you're going to play a clip real quick. We talked about the confiscation of guns and firearms, and I mentioned that at the very beginning of the show. I talked about how I'm really concerned. Personally, I'm concerned of where I actually live, which is on the edge of the desert, butting up to the bombing range. In the last month and a half, there have been almost daily occurrences where illegal aliens are being caught in big numbers, groups of nine, groups of four, groups of, you know, five. And some of them might be bad, some of them might be good. The problem is we don't know. And it's one of my biggest fears is that they do harm. One of those individuals commits a crime, and there's nothing I can do about it. You know, honestly, there's really nothing I can do. You grin and take it, I guess. But at the same time, you're being told by the federal government, oh wait, if you have a firearm, you're a horrible person. And you don't know what to do with it. You're going to kill people, and therefore we need to take it.
Want to play it?
Sure. Here's President Biden.
Look, the Second Amendment doesn't say you can't restrict the kinds of weapons people can own. You can't buy a bazooka. You can't have a flamethrower.
How would you deal with all the assault weapons that are already out there that people have?
What I would do is I would institute a national buyback program. and I would move in the direction of making sure that that, in fact, was what we tried to do, get them off the street.
But that's not confiscating people.
No, that's not walking into their homes, knocking on their doors, going through their gun cabinets, et cetera.
So people would be allowed to keep the weapons they already have?
Right now, there's no legal way that I'm aware of that you could deny them the right if they had legally purchased them. But we can, in fact, make a major effort to get them off the street and out of the possession of people.
So to gun owners out there who say, well, a Biden administration means they're going to come for my guns.
Bingo. You're right if you have an assault weapon. The fact of the matter is they should be illegal, period.
Anderson Cooper there.
Yeah, bingo.
He's probably like squirming in his chair. If you listen to the answering or the questions that, and the line of questions as he asked them, he was leading. We call that leading in the courtroom. So if you have a witness on the stand, you tell them the answer in a different form and they agree with you. It's either usually a yes or a no. Especially if you're an interrogator and it's your witness on the stand, you do not want them talking. You want to keep them confined to a yes or a no.
Oh, this,
and you want them to know those answers prior to asking them. And so from an attorney standpoint, that line of questioning is just so obvious that he Anderson Cooper, on the other end of there, he was the one giving the interview.
He's a journalist. He led
Biden over and over and over again. He even led him on that last question. And the problem was, you know, sometimes Biden has these mental skips, let's say, I guess you could say that. And it happened right there live, and there's nothing Anderson could do about it.
Do you think Anderson didn't want that answer?
He didn't want that answer because he had already Anderson Cooper was trying to set the premise at the very beginning of that interview. If you listen to that question, he said, what would you do? Well, I'd do this national buyback program. Anything but come in and take your guns. That's what Anderson was trying to set up in that line of questioning. And the next question after he talked about the buyback program, Anderson comes back and says, so you wouldn't come in and confiscate guns. That's not a confiscation of guns. That's what he said.
Bingo.
No. Yeah. Especially he said, no, that's not. Yeah. Well, what about it? And that's when he goes off on the tangent. Oh, yeah. Absolutely, we're going to take blah, blah, blah. And that's where he went.
I think that's how he really feels, obviously.
Of course that's how he really feels.
That's what he wants to do.
He wouldn't say it if he didn't feel like that.
Yeah.
And he was pretty passionate about it. So it was just a funny circumstance to see, it come out, the truth really come out, and there's nothing that could happen, nothing that could censor that.
Well, I think it's a good interviewer when they get the truth.
What do you think about that answer?
I think we should know. I think we should know the truth about how he feels, and I wish it was part of his platform. It should be part of his platform. I want to confiscate guns, but they don't do that because they want to get voted in and then surprise you with it.
It was the text of this speech that right before I came in here, I was reading this speech that was given back in the, I believe it was the 60s. It was by the Department of the head of the Department of Agriculture, and he was talking about, this is back in the 60s. That oftentimes men and women will opine or give their feedback on a particular proposed law or legislation. And the way that they give their feedback is determined by how popular that program or that legislation is. Yeah. He said, if we were to do that, and that's what happens, that's the default answer for most politicians. If it's a popular program, then they might be for it. If it's not popular, then they might not be for it. But at the same time, I don't think that's the litmus test when it comes to enacting legislation on behalf of the masses, at least not from the federal level. I think we ought to have a set of principles that we hold to, constitutional principles, and those principles ought to dictate or be the test for any legislation that's passed, whether that's legalization of marijuana in Arizona, whether that's the catch and release program, which we really don't have the ability to do. We could enact laws through our legislature locally. I guess I should have said that in my whole tangent about we really don't have power. We do have power on the local level in order to create laws ourselves. The problem is the Supreme Court in certain areas have said, well, the states don't control that area. You got to stay out of the federal government's way when it comes to border security, anything dealing with immigration. That's a national issue. And the federal government has the exclusive ability to deal with that area. There have been cases in the past where states or cities have tried to do that And when it goes to the Supreme Court, they will usually say, no, that's an abuse of your state power, and you're stepping on the toes of the federal government, and it's unconstitutional.
So we can't bus all the illegal immigrants to Washington, D.C.?
I think you could. I think you can get nowadays, I think you can get away with that. And the reason why is because when President Trump instituted the catch and release program back in 2017 through executive order, what happened was California was all up in arms about this. And so they, on the state level, they, through their state legislature, their House and their Senate, because it was all Democratic,
right,
ran, so they were able to just get this thing to go through. Anything Trump did is bad, and therefore we're going to create legislation against it. Well, what they ended up doing was they said, well, if you do that, if you say the federal government says anybody that comes in illegally, we are going to catch them and we're going to take them back to their country, their last country of origin.
Yeah.
That's usually Mexico or Canada.
Right. That's where they came through.
Right. That was their last that we knew. And so you take them back and we still have an agreement with Mexico, for example, and with Canada here on a daily basis. We're bringing people back. Here they are. They just came through and now they're part of your system. So we had agreements like that. Well, when he did that, President Trump, when he did this in 2017, California was all up in arms. How dare he do this? And so they passed legislation saying that that program, the federal government is racist, that that program is racist, and for the safety of our citizens, we will not lend any law enforcement aid to the federal government to do that program. And so the federal government, the Trump administration, sued California and said, we have exclusive right when it comes to border security and what we're doing, and you don't have the ability to do that. And so that case went through the court system. It hasn't gone to the Supreme Court. I don't know if it ever got appealed. I think it won't be appealed now from the Ninth Circuit, but it went all the way to our appeals court, the Ninth Circuit, which is the circuit that controls California and Arizona, among other states.
Right.
But what happens in that court, in the appeals court, is binding on all of us states here in the Ninth Circuit. And so what they said was, well, California has a right to protect its citizens, and so it doesn't have to do what the federal government says when it comes to that type of law. And because the Ninth Circuit said that, now that's the precedent. So that's the world we live in. So if Governor Ducey wants to say, you know what, I don't care what the federal government does when it comes to border and custom issues, I, as a state, under the Ninth Circuit ruling, I can create my own border patrol, or I can activate the Arizona State Guard, and I can take them to the border. I can build a border.
Which was not the intent of California.
They
were the opposite.
But they opened up Pandora's box.
There you go.
And so if you want to do that, we can do that. We'll talk about that as we come back. This is Life, Death, and the Law.
Have a question? Our phone lines are open. Call 344-5258. That's 344-KBLU.
Hey, Yuma, Dave Ramsey here. If you listen to our show or know anything about us, then you know I only recommend products and services I trust and I believe in. That's why when it comes to protecting your assets and planning for your loved one's future, you've got to call my friends Sean Garner and Adam Hansen at the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen. I encourage you to take the first step and attend a free, no-pressure seminar and learn all of your options. The firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen has been educating the Yuma community for over 40 years, and this is the only area of law that they practice. Sean and Adam believe in giving free education to help people make smart decisions about their assets and help them leave a legacy for their family that they can be proud of. Schedule a free personal consultation today. Call 783-4575 or visit yumaestateplanning.com.
Hope lives here in California. But during these challenging times, we could all use a little extra support. Visit calhope.org for free COVID-19 emotional support resources or call our warm line at 1-833-317-4673.
H&R Block has many options to make filing your taxes easy. Our tax pros can help you get your max refund with or without the office visit. Drop in, drop off, or a tax pro can even do your taxes virtually. Send some pics from your phone without leaving home. Just another way, Block has your back.
All tax situations are different. Not everyone gets a refund.
So when you need a hand with your taxes, H&R Block is here for you. Drop off your taxes today at their offices in Yuma, the Foothills, or San Luis, and let their experienced tax professionals help get your taxes won.
Are you prepared for the grand reopening? If not, let YumaAdvertising.com help as we move to being more open. Are you inviting people to come see you, call you, or visit your website? If not, let YumaAdvertising.com help. Don't assume that because the market knew about you before, that they know about you now. Let YumaAdvertising.com help. Maybe you dropped out of the market. People's habits may have changed. New people have moved to the market. Don't wait to start re-inviting people to do business with you. Learn how at YumaAdvertising.com.
At Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management, they believe they manage money for their clients differently from many other advisors in Yuma. Their way works in close alignment with their clients' goals. Yuma Investment Group is a fiduciary, obligated to put clients first. It's the highest standard for a financial advisor. When it comes to helping clients pursue a comfortable retirement, they're clearly different. Visit YumaInvestmentGroup.com and find out why investors switch to them. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
You're listening to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by Deason, Garner, and Hanson, the law firm that has been voted Yuma's best 6 years in a row.
Welcome back to the show. This is Life, Death, and the Law. I'm attorney Adam Hanson. I'm in the studio with the one and only Mr. Russ Clark. We've been talking about some of the government issues that we're seeing as of recently, and I've been expressing my frustration with administrative agencies and anybody that talks to me. I mean, that's always the same thing. They're like, Adam, stop talking about administrative. I don't care. Well, I care. I care because that's one of my biggest fears, and I've talked about this before. You know, a lot of people have fear of spiders, heights. I fear the government, the unchecked power of the government invading my house in the middle of the night with a no-knock warrant and then shooting me. There's nothing I can do about that, and you wouldn't hear about it. I mean, it's happening all the time. In fact, the Breonna Taylor thing back in, was that Louisville or was that in, I think it was in Louisville, Kentucky, where the police, they executed a no-knock warrant. We've talked about this before on the show. A no-knock warrant is such that the police have the ability to get a no-knock warrant issued, and the idea behind it or the premise or the probable cause argument is that it is such an exigent circumstance that the police need to go in at some really fast, and usually it's in the middle of the night, because otherwise the perpetrator or the alleged person that they're going to search and seize property from might be dangerous, highly dangerous, and therefore they've got to sneak in or they got to barge in really quickly. And so that's the premise behind these types of what we call no-knock warrants. We call them that because it's not the typical warrant that you get.
Right.
Yeah, it has to be issued. It has to be signed off by a judge, like normal, but it's not your typical warrant where there's about a day or two that you've got to kind of flesh out, is this person really bad? Is there enough probable cause to issue a warrant such that I'm going to go to their house, I'm going to knock on the door, hey, is so-and-so here? No. Yes. You know, oh, can I talk to him? Can I come in? We want to ask you a few questions.
No knock's more like a raid. You know, we're going to kick the door in.
Kick the door in. They'll go through the windows. It's kind of a hello, you know, and you're in bed. And then they'll probably, you know, they'll announce who they are. But like I've said before, if somebody comes kicking in my door at 3 o'clock in the morning or through my window, my first inclination is to grab a defense weapon and to defend myself and my family members. That's just naturally what I'm going to do. But if you fire upon a police officer in that circumstance, or you reach for a weapon, it's suicide by cop. You know, you're toast.
Yeah. And usually they come in yelling, police, police. And they're.
Yeah, but I could do that to you. Yeah. I could go into your house and yell that. So it's very scary to me. And so that's one of my biggest fears. And again, this usually comes in the form of an administrative agency doing it, whether it's on the state level or it's on the federal level. And so that's my biggest fear. We talked about right before the break the ability of the states to be able to, what can they actually do nowadays? And Russ and I were talking about this over the break. I said, because of this Ninth Circuit opinion that I talked about during the Trump administration, where California pushed the issue where Trump had signed an executive order and wanted the Border Patrol agents and the customs agents to, anytime they got somebody, their first default was to return them to their country of origin. No questions asked. You go back, you know. And the Biden administration, the first thing they did, the first day on the job, that was one of those executive orders that Biden signed, was negating that particular order by Trump. Well, that had been litigated since 2017 by California. And when President Trump said, this is what we're going to do, California said, absolutely not. That's a horrible, racist thing to do. We're not going to do that. And therefore, we're going to pass a law in California that we will not lend any power to enforcing that federal law mandate. And so that won, actually, in the Ninth Circuit. The Ninth Circuit is actually, it's a more liberal-leaning type court.
It's overturned more than any other court.
And a lot of that has to do because California, it's California, Arizona, but California has such a huge populace that it has a lot of influence there in the justices that are on that court. And therefore, a lot of times that's a more liberal-type leaning doctrine that comes out. Well, in this particular case, I liked the opinion because what it did was it opened up this ability for us, Arizona, California, for our governors to come in and say, you know what? I don't like what the president's doing when it comes to borders and customs. I'm going to take it within my statehood, my power to protect my citizens, and I'm going to activate the state guard, and I'm going to create my own border patrol agency on the state level, and I'm going to send them to the border. And you know what? To protect us, I want to continue the wall. I'm going to pick up where the federal government left off. And I'm going to divert funds. I'm going to take away some of these other agencies that are just money suckers that really are not doing anything, and they're more bureaucratic than anything. I'm going to kill those off. I'm going to take some of the monies that have been allotted to those, and I'm going to put it into this system where I can put up a fence if I want to, a wall if I want to. I can man that wall. I can enforce Arizona state laws that we can enact. So the state has a lot of power right now because of that Ninth Circuit opinion. I wish our governors were more looking at that. And I think maybe they are, because I don't know if Governor Ducey is or not. I haven't talked to too many people close to him recently about that issue. But if he doesn't know, I hope he does know. And I want to let him know that he has a lot of power because of that Ninth Circuit opinion, which he could take a lot of matters into his own hands, basically act like his own little country if he wanted to, his own Border Patrol agency, his own customs agency. We are the ones that are affected by these issues. Like I mentioned before, these illegal aliens coming across the border, we are the ones actually affected. It's not Texas. You know, somebody that's in my backyard that comes and he grabs one of my daughters and runs away with them or kills them or rapes them, it's not Texas. They don't care.
It's your backyard.
It's my backyard. It's Arizona. I'm an Arizona citizen. And Governor Ducey has the ability to help us with that. Yeah. Amberlee's Place is struggling right now as well with this type of issue, because what's happening is we're getting a lot of these groups. We're getting mass groups of illegal aliens. And oftentimes what's happening is they're claiming, in order to get across, that, oh, I'm with my family unit. But in fact, they're not. You know, that's just that. If you say I'm with my family unit, usually that gets you across, or it gets you some leeway there. But what's happening is they're being abused. So you've got these younger kids that are being abused, that once they're coming across, and then they're actually getting into law enforcement hands, the Border Patrol or the customs agents, and they're interviewing these minors. They're talking about abuses that have happened to them over the course of their trip. Well, that's a huge issue that we can't do anything about. It's a tragedy. Really, it is, because now wonderful organizations like Amberlee's Place, they can't do anything about it either. Now, what ICE and Border Patrol has to do is they say, okay, we're going to take it to Amberlee's Place so you can give them your statement so that we can get law enforcement involved. But law enforcement is saying, well, we can't get involved. We have no jurisdiction. That might have happened in Honduras. It might have happened in Mexico. We have a pact with Mexico. We can probably do something there. But at the same time, there's nothing we can do to the perpetrator of that alleged crime. And so it's very, very difficult to be able to enforce something when they don't play, those that are coming in, they don't have our rule set necessarily. If they created a, or they committed a crime elsewhere where it might not even be codified as a crime. It's a crime in Arizona, it might be a crime in Utah, but it might not be a crime in Mexico or Honduras to do what they did to this child. And so what do you do? You know, it's very, very challenging. I hate to leave you on that note. The note that I want to leave you on is, if you haven't already, don't feel like you failed yesterday on Mother's Day, reaching out to those loved ones of yours that are, that have made a huge influence in your life. Don't feel like, oh, I missed my chance. You can do it any day. It doesn't have to be Mother's Day. So I would invite you to call any of those women that you know in your life that have just made you who you are. And I'll leave you with that. This is Life, Death, and Law. We'll be back next week.
Questions? Or want to know more about something that was discussed today, please call the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hanson at 928-783-4575 or visit YumaEstatePlanning.com.
The preceding show on 560 KBLU was a paid program. All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters LLC, nor its affiliates, nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated, warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such.
From the 1 Hour Air Conditioning and Heating Studio, this is News Talk 560 KBLU, Yuma.